Hey, Doc Danny here, and I just want to say thank you for listening to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. If you want to get involved in the conversation and get your questions answered and feedback from myself and 1,500 other people within the PT Entrepreneur community, head over to Facebook and join the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. This is a great group for anybody that is in business or thinking about going into business for themselves and wants the support of other people like me and other practitioners out there that are entrepreneurs. So guys, thanks for listening. Enjoy this episode. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. What's up, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast, and I got my buddy Eve Gigi on the other line, and we're going to talk about attracting your ideal client and how to get more of them today on the podcast. But before we do that, I really have been itching to ask Eve this question, and it is, what's the best toy your kids got for Christmas that you enjoy playing with this year? Because I got one.
Oh man, that's a very good one. So, believe it or not, Liam got, I'm going to be totally crushed for this as being a nerd, but Liam got Pokemon cards for Christmas. And so I bought my own starter set of Pokemon cards and we played like a Pokemon card match together. And it was actually kind of fun. I didn't know what to expect, but, he
How's
won.
That work? Is it like, I've never played that.
Neither have I. It's like you have your own Pokemon and like you put the card out and like they battle each other and like it's kind of like Dungeons and Dragons kind of, not a board. It's just cards, like a deck of cards, and he has his own deck of cards.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that was the most fun.
We got got Jack at one of those throwback Super Nintendos. You know, the one that we gave Kingsley at, to give everybody a backstory, in our mastermind, we have two awards. We have an MVP of the time between where we get together, and we have a most improved. And one of our members, Kingsley, got the most improved award, and we give them a gift. And the winner, the MVP winner, got some AirPods, and the most improved person got a throwback Super Nintendo. That these are amazing, by the way, and it's preloaded with like 25 games on it. One of them is Street Fighter 2, and I spent the better part of probably 2 to 3 hours. I have a sore thumb from this playing my brother-in-law on New Year's Day in Street Fighter for literally hours while we cursed at each other about cheating in some respect in this game. But dude, that thing is awesome.
Who's your character? Who's your guy or girl?
So normally I like to play with Ryu, but my brother-in-law has a real hard time stopping M. Bison. So I've been playing him with M. Bison, and the little slide kick that he does, he gets so frustrated whenever I do the little slide kick because he doesn't know how to stop it. And he plays with Chung Lee, and you know, she's pretty good, but she has a hard time stopping that slide kick. So he was just getting really angry, and it was hilarious. I had a blast, man. It was a lot of fun.
Why doesn't he switch characters? It's not that like
he refuses to switch characters.
There it is, man. That's what's gonna make him lose every time. You gotta.
That's what he said. That's true. I would play his brother, and his brother would switch to different characters. I have a hard time with it. But whenever he has the same one and I can pick one that, you know, it's not a good option for him, he loses. So maybe he's listening to this and he will take you up on that advice of switch characters and maybe try a different approach. But nope. We literally spent like probably 2 to 3 hours. My left thumb is sore from pushing the little plus sign on the controller forever. And it was a blast though, dude. Like those old 2D games, just like they're so simple. And my kids love it. They get to play like a little like Super Mario or their first Mario Kart. Like, dude, you get lost in that for hours.
Yeah. Right now games are so complicated. I can't play video games anymore. I'd much rather play, basic 2D, A and a B, you know, and that's it. I'm solid.
Yeah, totally. No, they're way too complex, man. Like you need, anyway, we probably shouldn't be playing video games anyway. I haven't played video games in a long time, and we got this thing, and I'm telling you, man, I'll wake up. I woke up this morning. I played a little bit of Super Nintendo. I was up at 4:30 this morning drinking some coffee. I'm sitting there drinking some coffee, thinking about reading a book. And instead I said, you know what? I'm going to play some Street Fighter. And yeah. I did. And it's, you know, it was awesome. So let's do this. Enough about Street Fighter 2. Let's get into how to get more of your ideal clients. And, you know, it's funny. We were talking before this about when you started your practice and, you know, the way that you had to learn about how to position yourself correctly and define your niche. And, you know, tell me a little bit about the mistakes you made starting out with starting to try to figure out who your ideal client was and how to get in front of them.
Yeah. I mean, most people kind of know the story that I kind of ran insurance-based practice and then made the transition to cash. And where I failed was I decided that I was going to be a clinic that anybody could come into. If you were in pain or you had any dysfunction, like I was going to do all my marketing and branding so anybody could come in, you know, make it super gray area in the middle, not really put my stamp down in anything. And, you know, I learned literally trial by fire, like that was not a good strategy. The marketing message needed to be very clear about who I was for and who I wasn't for. And as soon as I made that transition, more people started coming, which is kind of counterintuitive, right? You'd think like if your message is broader and is more people come away, but no, the more concise and the more distinct it is, the more people came to see me. And I thought that was an amazing, thing I learned very quickly.
Well, it's the power of niches, right? Like I think that's, what's so important about anybody starting a practice like that. And really you could make this as a general statement for any business for the most part. Like when you try to become a generalist, what happens is you have to market to so many different interests, to so many different people in so many different areas that it becomes very expensive and you water down your message versus, you know, if you know that your target audience is this one very defined group, it makes it a lot easier for you to then craft your message in a way that it appeals to them, you know. And when we started Athlete's Potential, it was almost inherent in terms of like who it is that I worked with. I mean, I had an office in a CrossFit gym, and I worked for CrossFit at the time, and you know, I also really only had 2 days of available schedule a week, so I primarily, you know, right off the bat was pretty busy with just CrossFitters. So everybody thought I just saw CrossFit athletes, which sort of turned into a bit of a problem, you know, about 2 years ago as we sort of expanded and we had to really let people know like, hey, we can help people besides CrossFitters. That's just who we've been working with because that's who we're really good at working with. But you know, we can work with lots of other people. But the thing is like that niche definition of us being able to say like, hey, this is who we work best with. It helps you grow your business and then make lateral transitions into other spaces. You know, so for instance, a good example would be like Jackie, who's one of our PTs. She coaches at a CrossFit gym. She's a competitive Olympic lifter. She also happens to be certified in internal women's health and has a strong desire to want to help women, in the gym, get back into the gym in an effective manner without going through a lot of the stress incontinence issues and, you know, nagging issues that develop with pelvic hip and lower back pain associated with postpartum, you know, changes and not necessarily training the right way. So now all of a sudden we take this person that's really good with CrossFit athletes and they make this lateral transition into women's health, and not all women's health, but women's health in a specific kind of lateral or vertical. And that is because we have credibility in one niche to begin with. Right. So you guys have done something similar as well with Meg, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And we just added an internal women's health PT literally this month. So I completely agree. Once you become an expert in one area and people know this is a place that I know I'm going to get good care, I know that they're experts, and then you add someone to your team, they they just know they're like, oh man, this person's going to be amazing too. And oh wow, they're in this, you know, and it should be similar. You wouldn't go from, you know, from what you're doing to start doing like geriatric fall based care, right? It's still very, very close.
Right.
But it, yeah, it's much easier to go into a new vertical like that. And, we've done it successfully and it's been awesome. And it's funny how they all kind of weave and tie together, right? Like a lot of CrossFitters have some of these women's health issues and all of a sudden, you know, they didn't even realize that they had this, they knew they had a problem, but they didn't know that there was an answer to that problem. And those people start coming to see you. It's freaking amazing.
You know, I thought about this the other day as I was, you know, talking to somebody on an accelerator call about their practice, you know, and, you know, he basically said, you know, it seems like being a cash PT is sort of like having like a food truck, you know, what the heck is that? You hear that?
Yeah. Feels like a phone.
What the heck is that?
It's weird. Not my phone. Yeah.
So let me get back to that. So he said, you know, having a cash PT practice is kind of like a food truck. And I was like, what do you mean by that? And he goes, well, you know, a restaurant serves all kinds of different dishes and there's a lot of overhead. But a food truck, usually they have like one good thing. Like they have like French fries, you know, they're really good with French fries or tacos. Yeah, noodles. Or they're like, okay, it's the crepes food truck. And he's like, they're very like niche specific and they can become really popular because of that. And I'm like, dude, that's exactly right. Like you have to start out as a food truck. Like pick what you want to be good at. Like pick that one thing. Like you want to be the French fry guy, then name your freaking truck the French fry truck. And you will attract people that love French fries. But if you name your truck that we serve every kind of food that you would like truck, no one's going to come like, or they'll be confused as to like, what do you have, you know, and you'll have a harder time defining who should come and see you. So when people are starting out in particular in a cash practice, you really have to understand one niche, a specific niche you can build a business off of that. And then you can scale to other sub niches within that or totally different niches within that because of the credibility you have. And the niche is really important because they have what are called like congregation points. Okay. So a niche has a congregation point. A CrossFit gym, it's a very well-defined congregation point. It's their gym, you know, like they congregate there. They hang out with each other. They have barbecues at the CrossFit gym. You know, they have parties there. They show up to do workouts at certain times during the year that are named and they know it's going to happen every year. Like 12 days of Christmas happens every year, right? So you know where those people are going to be and those congregation points allow you to then go out and find your ideal customer because you know where they're at. So if you know what their problem is and you can explain their problem in their words better than they can explain it to you, like that's huge. So if you can explain the problem that a CrossFitter has with trying to do a full snatch with a barbell that is immobile, you can explain how that feels to that person. And even better, if you can do it in person at their congregation point in their gym, the likelihood that that person is going to want to do some work with you is pretty freaking high compared to you just talking about how to improve, you know, knee mechanics or whatever in general knee health or something very vague like that. So in order to get more of your ideal customers, you have to figure out number one, what's the niche? What's their common problems? So, and what's the solution to that? And then where do they congregate or where do they hang out? That could be competitions. That could be at gyms, in particular to the CrossFit community. But they have congregation points. And if you can get there in front of them and around them and develop relationships, you can gain a lot of business from that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I feel like the next step, like in a lot of the calls that we do for the mastermind, I've talked to a few guys who are runners and they're actually runners themselves and they do the same thing. They go on these running trails with big groups and they go to all their social events, which a lot of runners have stuff like that. And because they're part of that community and because they run with, they naturally get all those clientele. I mean, that's something that we focus on a lot. With everybody that I talk to is like, I love the fact that we're this community, grassroots based, niche specific, like you've talked about, attack of healthcare, because we are able to make a difference with something that they love. They're more compliant. They love what we talk about. The word of mouth grows. We provide so much value. The benefits are almost out of this world. And it's just fun to see. And if you can focus on providing value in their community and in their, everywhere that they go, right, then the cash practice and your practice just ends up growing. And it's just a lot of fun.
Well, it's not just local congregation points either. So this is the other side of it. So you have in-person ideal clients that congregate in certain places. And again, this could be any niche. It could be runners and running groups at races. We all know that like running isn't just about running. Like there's a lot more associated with that. It's like people that go to a CrossFit gym. It's not just because they like to, you know, lift weights and do burpees. They like to be around the people that are there and they like the environment. Golfers go to golf clubs, you know, they go to places where they play their sport. Tennis players go to, you know, tennis facilities, tennis clubs, they're in tennis teams. And, you know, these are congregation points, but virtually there's also congregation points. These can be in groups. These can be in forums. These can be in, you know, free and or paid groups. These can be on certain blogs, videos that they have, YouTube. People go there for all kinds of things to try to figure out how to do something better. You know, a good example is our friends, the QB Docs, the Keel brothers. So the Keel brothers, they work with quarterbacks, you know, high school and college, I guess it would be like middle school to college quarterbacks. And they don't just work with football players. They work with one position on the football team. That's how defined their niche is. So what do? They put out content about throwing mechanics, improvement of deceleration of the arm, how to improve internal rotation on the front hip so you can have a better follow through with your throwing, how to decrease likelihood of elbow and shoulder pain by improving your mechanics, how to throw a football 10 yards further. You know, these things that they do are specific to their niche, and their niche is not necessarily around them. Now, there might be a handful of quarterbacks around them that want to do this in the city that they're in Nashville, but there's a hell of a lot more quarterbacks all over the country. And if they can produce content and provide content for people in these places where they congregate, they're going to be able to establish a lot of credibility and they're going to get a lot of leads because of that. You know, and it's interesting what's happened with those guys. Like they've been able to connect with a lot of high level people because they've defined what they do so much and they have such an interesting approach because they both played quarterback in college. They both are physical therapists. They both have a background in strength and conditioning and they only work with quarterbacks, right? So how niche can you get? But because of that, they've really, really put themselves in a position as like a premium, result to this problem of what do you do if you're a quarterback in the off season? What do you do if your shoulder hurts, if your elbow hurts, or, you know, whatever the things are. So if you think that you're maybe niching down too much, think of the Keel brothers before you jump to that conclusion. Maybe you're not niching down enough.
Yeah. I mean, it's so important to have good branding and good messaging, and their messaging, it's also just easy, right? They know exactly what they need to talk about. They know exactly what their blog posts are going to be. They know exactly who they're for and who they're not. And it's just a lot easier because as an entrepreneur or as a business owner, like there's so much you need to do. There's so many things going on in your head. And if I can just eliminate like, oh man, I could do this about the knee, the back, the shoulder. I've got all these joints in the body and these different diagnoses. And what do I write about? It's like, all I need to do is write about quarterbacks and their specific problems. Like that's awesome. Right. And so it's the same thing for your niche, whether it's running or whatever. All I need to do is focus on running mechanics. All I need to do is focus on health for runners. These are their common injuries. It makes your workshops easier. It makes your, you know, Instagram, social media easier. It makes everything they do. And just like you said, if you know, like they have a language, right? They have a specific language for a CrossFitter, for a runner, for a quarterback. And if you know that language and they see marketing where they talk about a full snatch where not everybody knows what a full snatch is, or, you know, they think it's something else, right? So right. It's very, very powerful. The heck? It's like someone's trying to FaceTime you. That's what it sounds like, a FaceTime.
Dude, what the heck? Oh, I know what that is. That's a Google number. We still have this. When we first started our business, we set up a Google number and it goes to my Gmail account. And when it's open, that son of a bitch rings. So somebody's calling like an old number. I don't even know where that's listed anymore. So that's what it is.
There you go.
Turned it off. Anyway, we solved the problem. The problem solved. But, you know, I agree with you, man. I think that people get too caught up in trying to be everything to everybody. And they're scared that when they say no to somebody, no, I don't think you're the best fit for us. I think you might be better off doing something else, that they're going to not get the business that they need. But what they really end up doing is defining who it is that they work with the most, getting those people the best results, and getting those people send more people like them their way, right? So like if I worked with just everybody and I got everybody that, you know, sent my way, I'm not going to get people the same results that we get the people that we work with, because we're really good with a certain portion of the population. You know, like you said, if somebody comes to me for falls risk or vestibular work, I'm not the best person for that. Now, there's plenty of people that are really good at those things, and that's their niche, but it's not ours. So if we see people that reach out to us for those things, we find them the right fit. And yeah, for sure, maybe we lose out on a visit, but we send them to the right place, and they remember that. You know, they remember that, oh, we work with so-and-so, and we're really good with that population. So if they have a friend or a family member or something like that that actually does, you know, have that problem that fits our niche, we're one of the first people they think about. And I think, you know, one of the main things that you also need to really be aware of is the fact that content's really powerful. And when you put out the right content for the niche that you're really good with, you're going to get people that gravitate towards your message, towards your content, and you're going to start to develop a bond with them or a relationship in a way via teaching them something. And that's what you want. So you want to teach people the things that, you know, you're good at and let them realize that you're smart when it comes to this certain niche. And, you know, our friend Jared Moon, who it works in the mastermind with us, you know, he spent a lot of money on Facebook last year. It was like almost $200,000 in Facebook ads for his digital business, right? Which, that's crazy for people to, you know, let that number soak in. You know, close to $200,000 in Facebook ads. Now, what he learned from that is, it's not doing for no reason. His business is growing, but what he learned from that is content in particular, he thought was just the cost of getting in front of people. But when he started to look at his return on investment for content ads, meaning just sending people to blog posts, he was getting about a 25 to 30% return on investment just for content ads. Meaning no call to action, nothing to buy, just go read this blog post on how to build yourself a squat rack or whatever it is that he was sending them to. And so he was getting a 25 to 30% return on investment with no call to action with paid ads. So for every dollar he spent, he was getting $1.30 back with something that he thought was a waste. So keep that in mind, like content is still really valuable and it works really well, but you have to define the content that you need to put out. And that really comes down to that question of what are the main problems and what are the solutions? So if you can call it the problem, and in a video or a blog post, you can talk about some steps to a solution, you're going to position yourself as a subject matter expert within that sub niche or that field that you want to be known for as the expert.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, they talk about what, agitating the problem and then providing them with the solution and showing how what you are doing provides them a solution. Like, I love, if you guys haven't read it yet, StoryBrand, which you recommended to me,
yep. And
using that to develop more of a StoryBrand process to my messaging. But I really like, it talks about, it's like an Obi-Wan Kenobi thing. It's like, you know, you are their guide. So like, it's perfect for physical therapists. You're in pain and I'm your Obi-Wan Kenobi that's going to get you, you know, to whatever the force may be. It's manual therapy, it's driving you, whatever, but I'm the one that's going to show you how to become like a master of whatever that you're doing and get you out of pain. And like, if you can provide a message where you become their guide and get them to the next step, and again, you being the subject matter expert, that person is going to just die to work with you, you know? And that's so powerful. It's like, just like you said, content-based marketing by far is our king right now. And once you optimize that, like Jared's done with Facebook ads, I mean, it becomes simple math at that point. You put $100 into the slot machine and you get $130 back. Like, how powerful is that? Like, that's cool.
Oh, it's really cool. And it's predictable. And, you know, it's something that I think is the scariest part for people with their business when they start, and in particular when they go to scale to a second PT. You know, so I absolutely was, you know, I was a bit scared to bring on another PT guy. I wasn't totally sure that we could build a volume, you know, that we needed to be able to have Jackie have enough patience, you know? And when I had the time to take a step back and really look at the business, not as, hey, I'm just seeing all these patients, but how do I build the business to really drive new patients, to have new patients go through a proper sequence of getting them to commit to the right decisions long, you know, to solve their problem. And then what do we do with them afterward? You know, that system allows us to realize, okay, well, it costs us this much to get somebody in the door. This is what they're typically worth to us. This is how many of them stick around and do other things. And now we can be a lot more systematic with our numbers in terms of like what we're willing to pay to get somebody in the door because we know what the back end looks like. And we didn't really know what that looked like to begin with. So the scary part for people is not knowing what they can expect and not having any sort of predictable way to get new people in the door. Now, content is definitely one of the ways that you can do that. But being able to leverage that in a predictable way, like what Jared, you know, has done with Facebook ads. And we do the same thing with content. We've been doing that for years. And, you know, it's simple stuff. Like it's not that complex. There's plenty of other things you can do that are more complex. But if you don't know anything else to do from a digital marketing standpoint, like for sure, getting your best content in front of the right people in a radius that's close to where your office is not a waste of money. You know, I mean, you can absolutely see who's watching that, how much they're clicking to your website, reading, you know, like if I can pay a dollar to get somebody that is within 2 mile radius that fits our demographic to click to our website, to read a blog post that we know is really good, I'll take that all day. You know, like it's just a numbers game at that point.
Yeah. I mean, starting a business is one of the scariest things that you can do. Let's be honest. Like it's sure. Still scary every single day. The more predictability that you can have in your business. And again, from a simplicity standpoint, what we're talking about, which is finding your niche and really just getting the right clientele, like that can make everything much more predictable and easier for you, right? Because that's all we're doing. I'm trying to mitigate. It's risky. I'm trying to mitigate as much risk as possible and get as much predictability in this ridiculously unpredictable world right now. So, yeah. I mean, being able to niche down is huge, right? Like it's really what I think everybody should do in the beginning, in this stage of a cash practice or probably any practice.
Well, you know, I was interviewed on another podcast this morning, and one of the questions they had for me was when does like when you're an entrepreneur and you start a business, when does the like stress of business start to go away? You know, okay. And I was like, doesn't it? You know, it doesn't. There's a you know, I had this conversation with Kelly about, you know, business stress and fear and challenges. And he was like, it doesn't go away. You just sort of get accustomed to the constant low level of stress associated with owning a business. And sometimes it's not low level. Sometimes it's really high. And it can change. There can be periods where it's awesome and, you know, like in periods where it's like really stressful when you're going through growth phases or when unexpected things happen. Like talk about, I mean, our freaking office that we had since 2014 when we opened up, you know, on the west side of Atlanta, we get notification that the building that we're in is going to be, you know, knocked down and they're going to build condos there. So every person, not just us, people that had been there was like a furniture fabricator next to us that had been there for like 20 years. This lady like had been there for much, much longer than the CrossFit gym that we were in. And she had to find a new place to go. In fact, I think she just like closed her business, honestly. And, you know, that's unexpected. Nobody thought that was going to happen. And that's what happens in business. Sometimes that shit just happens and you got to be able to deal with it. And there is stress associated with it. So, you know, being able to have predictability within your business can offload a lot of the stress that comes along with, hey, am I going to be able to make payroll this week or this month? Like, are we going to be, you know, positive in our cash flow? Or are we losing money? These are real things that happen, you know, and people, I don't know. I feel like entrepreneurship is like, people have made it like really sexy. Like, oh, I'm an entrepreneur. It's like, okay, well, that just means that you pay yourself half as much to work twice as hard for like 2-3 years. And then hopefully if you make the right decisions, you get to a point where you get your time and financial freedom. And if you're willing to bet on yourself, awesome. I mean, I totally am. I'd never go to anything else. I'm chronically unemployable. It's the only way for me to go for it. That's it. But I do think people forget that the fact that there's a shitload of fucking work, and they think that all of a sudden you slap the tag of you being an entrepreneur on yourself, and that means that, you know, you make $1 million and you never do anything. It couldn't be further from the truth. So the predictability by having this niche and by having a defined way of getting in front of these people and to get them in to see you for the service that you know is good, that's huge. And if you don't have a predictable way of doing that, or multiple predictable ways of doing that, you're playing Russian roulette with your business. And you may be wrong, and you can only be wrong for a certain amount of months before you run out of cash. When you run out of cash, it's like running out of blood in your body. Your business is dead. And, you know, it's over. Game's over. You got to start over doing something else.
Man, there's so many good nuggets in there. But I was thinking about this a lot. Like, you're completely right. Managing, like, anxiety is never going to away, going to go away. It's going to be there forever. I know there's some people like, oh, I've made it. I'm finally there. You know, I think the big difference maker between maybe an entrepreneur and somebody who hasn't started a business or something is just like, we know how to manage it maybe a little bit better than other people. Or we just, despite all the warning signals in our brain to not do something, we don't listen and maybe just do it anyway. You know, I mean, I think
I think you have to have like, something slightly wrong with you in terms of being okay with putting your family and your financial future in a place of risk, like, and risk with potential significant reward associated with that, right? Like, that's the whole draw of entrepreneurship, is you have this opportunity to really take this idea and make it into whatever it is that, you know, you're trying to accomplish. And then with the goal of being able to have more satisfaction, more income, more freedom associated with the end result of that. But I know people that have been in business for decades that literally to this day think that they don't know if it's going to last. You know, like, I have a friend that owns a company that's a juice company, and they've been in business for like 25 years. And I talked to her the other day, and she was like, I don't know, I always sort of just feel like it could just all go away in a year. So I'm always like really like vigilant and working, you know, hard. I'm like, you've been around for like 25 years. You guys have a pretty significant company at this point. And you know, they've got like 80 employees or something like that. And she's like, yeah, I know. But I kind of always think like, well, maybe this is the year where people aren't going to be interested in what we have to say. And it's because you kind of stay on top of that shit. You know, as soon as you sort of like decide that, oh man, take my eye off this, and you walk away for a little bit, it can change. So, you know, she maybe is a little bit, extreme when it comes to that. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely low levels of that all the time. And, you know, this is just reality. Like, you can listen to all the stuff you want about, hey, I'm a business owner, I'm living the laptop lifestyle bullshit. There's no such thing. Okay. Number one, the people that are doing that are probably just trying to sell you on something that they want you to buy so that you can think you can do the same thing. But business is business. Work is work. No one makes money for no reason. Like, you got to put work in. You got to decide what you want to do. And there's risk associated with business. But when you understand who you're trying to serve, and this is what this is all about, when you understand who you're trying to serve and you can easily express that to other people, it's much, much more likely that they're going to send those people to come to see you. And when you're really good with a certain group, you're much more resistant to economic change, to potential recessions, to both positive and negative swings in the economy. Like, you're the person for this one thing. There's not many other options for people. If they know they really want to see a specialist, they're going to come and see you. And that puts you in a really, really resilient place from a business standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, there's our benefits. I want to like qualify this. Benefits to being an entrepreneur, which are amazing. You know, like, A, like we both love to do, like, I love control of my own destiny, investing in myself. Like, any investment, I'd rather bet on myself than anybody else. And like, it's pretty awesome to, and this is what I'm gonna circle back to, like, being able to work on your passion, right? So if you find a niche and like, you love to treat CrossFitters, you love to treat runners, like, a lot of what we do is like providing energy, right? Like, you know, I have to have a ton of energy every day to get all the things I need to get done. If I'm working with people I don't want to work with, they're sucking the life out of me, and then I don't have the energy to do all these things. If I'm working with people I love, I'm getting really good outcomes with them. I'll get up at 3 a.m. to see somebody. I'll stay till 10 o'clock at night because I'm so excited to see that person. And that's super powerful too. And that's what making an entrepreneur, being an entrepreneur is kind of like sexy. It's just, I get to wear the clothes I want to wear. I get to treat the patients I want to treat. And like, I will, it's priceless to me anyway.
I agree. Look, there's no other way for me. There's not, you know, I mean, it's, Ashley asked me the other day, you know, she goes, do you ever wish you had stayed in the army? And, you know, I sort of laughed and I was like, hell no. You know, like I had really enjoyed my time in the army. And if you'd asked me when I was in PT school, like where I was going to be 10 years after I got out of school, it was going to be in the army as a major, hopefully, and continuing to kind of move forward and make rank and take other jobs within the military. And, you know, the ability to really be creative and decide what it is that you want to do. And you can be wrong. Like, this is my point. When I sort of brought some of this other stuff up is the fact that not everybody that starts a business is successful. In fact, most people that start a business struggle a lot. And you may not always see that, right? And the silver lining to it is the fact that it's your choice. It's your decisions. It's your fault, or it's you get the credits. You know, you can't blame anybody else. I can't blame the government. I can't blame some guy down the road from me or somebody else. Like, it's me. I take ownership in that, whether it's positive or it's negative. That's it. It's on me. And that is very motivating to me because I don't like to lose. I have a family, and if I lose, it means that they don't get to eat, you know, good food and live in a nice place and go to a nice school. And better fucking believe I'm not going to let that happen. So for me, I have no other choice. There's no choice for me besides doing this. And if you feel like that, then I highly recommend that you make that your path as well. If you're on the fence about that, you might want to look at something else because the career is, it's a lifestyle. You know, it is what it is. It's just the way that we're wired. It's the way that we're built. It's not for everybody, but if it's for you and you know it's for you and you've been doing weird stuff and selling stuff as a kid and, you know, constantly thinking about things that could work and, you know, you like watching stuff like, what is it, Shark Tank, you know, and things like that. Like, you know, hey, it might be the right place for you to move your career because it's one of the most rewarding things that I've ever done. Besides being in the military, having kids, you know, opening a business and deciding to go that direction is one of the most important things I've ever done from personal development standpoint, from just career satisfaction and all the things that impact I've been able to have so far. It wouldn't have happened if I would have stayed the course and stayed in the military and stayed in the job that I had. So there's pros and cons, don't get me wrong, but you know, if it's for you, it's a no-brainer. You have to do it. It's a lifestyle. It's the way you've always been. It's the way you're built. It's where you're always going to be. So if you're constantly fighting that, you're always going to be slightly stressed out because you're not doing the thing you're supposed to. So stress is everywhere. You just got to pick how you want to deal with it and what level you want to attack it at. And entrepreneurship can be a perfect fit for certain people. But, you know, there's pros and cons. So one of the best ways to take some of the stress out of your business is understanding how you should run it, you know? And if you don't know how to run it, you probably need to figure out how to run it, you know, and people like us can help you with that. And understanding some of these basic things of, hey, who's my niche? How do I get in front of that niche? Where are they? How do I market to them? How do I get systematically people in the door so that I have revenue and cash coming in? And now I can pay myself and I can scale my business. Like, that's a skill. That's something that can be taught. That's something that can be learned. Unless you learned that in PT school, which I didn't, you know, you need to learn that somewhere and you need to seek it out if you don't.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that was a good point. Like, anxiety and stress is everywhere. And I remember when I made the decision to leave kind of insurance-based job, I was like, I'm so stressed out now. I'd rather be stressed out doing what I love than being stressed out not doing what I love, you know? And that made it almost an easy decision for me. You know, if you're going to be stressed out, you might as well be doing something that you're passionate about. And for PTs, I think it's so easy. It's like, dude, you could try to run your business. A physical therapy job's not going to go anywhere. Like, say you try and fail, you can go do home health or go to a skilled nursing facility, you know, anytime that you want. But I mean, you did make a good point. It's like, you go and start your business and there's so many things to work on. I mean, so many, it's unbelievable. And if you can find, this is the key, I think, to business, is if you can find the one thing that you're supposed to work on that's going to push your business forward, like, that is what is the key to having a successful business, period. Finding that one thing every single day. What do I need to work on today to move everything forward? What's the key log? What's the key log? And every single day being able to do that. And you're right, like having somebody objective coming in there and show you what it is. Like there's, we've both invested in coaches ourselves. It's you need somebody to have a 3,000 foot view of that stuff. Because when you're in it.
For sure. Well, for sure. I mean, this is the whole reason why, you know, we're involved in masterminds ourselves. We have a mastermind, but like we actively invest in coaching and experts that are outside of our field because we want another set of eyes on what is going on. I can't tell you how many times I've had people look at things that I've struggled with and help me solve a problem that, but just by looking at it a different way, you know, and looking at that different way that allows me to then get out of the work that I'm doing all the time. They say it's like hard to see the forest through the trees. So when you're in it and you're just grinding away and you're all you're focused on is like, I got to see these patients and I got to grow this, the volume that I have, and I got to do X, Y, and Z. And then, oh, I got to make sure I write a blog post this week. And then the newsletter has to go out, and then I got to do these videos. And then I got to make sure to call this guy back, and I'm supposed to have lunch with this guy. And now my calendar looks like it's fucking crazy. And you forget the fact that you still have a business that you have to try to grow. You know, and it's like not watering a plant. You can, you know, you may be, you're busy with all kinds of other stuff. You get to water that plant, it dies. You know, so you have to really understand that if you don't know what you need to know, you need to go learn it. And sometimes you don't know what you don't know, and that's a dangerous place to be. You know, so for me, it's a no-brainer. I invest more money in personal education, personal development, and business education than most people that I know. It's because it's a no-brainer. If I see something and I'm like, that shit's expensive, I need to learn that. Like right away, I go for it. And it's almost to a fault, but I also don't like to waste money. So when I do that, I'm going to implement that shit out of whatever I learn because I'm trying to get a return on investment as fast as I possibly can. You know, we talk about this, like we just spent money on a $6,000 course that is going to really help us with systems in place for some of the digital things that we have, right? And within, what did I say, a day, we've doubled the return on the course from a portion of it that I went through in like a couple of days. And that's what I'm talking about from an investment standpoint. Like if you don't get a return on investment from investing in yourself to try to solve a business problem, that's a you problem. Like you're not implementing, you're not following through on those things, you know? So it's something that you have to really look at. As you start to get certain stages, businesses are hard to scale by themselves. There's a reason why other people are out there that can help you do it and can help you get a return on investment for your business as you scale and you should have to solve these other complex problems. So I'm a huge fan of it, man. It could be as simple as reading a book. It could be as complex as joining a mastermind or you know, getting absolute like one-on-one structured coaching from somebody that you think can really be helpful within your business. So anyway, I'll get off my soapbox with that.
Yeah, I mean, being a perpetual student is, I think, the key. Like we never know everything. Like we just don't, right? Even as physical therapists in the medical field, as business owners, like constantly trying to learn a little bit more. And it's just, you're going to have to go ahead and commit to that. If you're not like that, I would definitely recommend you don't become a business owner. Like I know exactly that I don't know everything and that I'm going to constantly be learning for the rest of my life and constantly trying to improve because that's a big part of what we do. And I mean, kind of like what you said, like with my licensee model, right? I've got multiple offices and I do the same thing. They own their own business and I basically just sit down with them and coach them. And I had one today with Meg, our women's health PT. And she just been having some trouble. Like there's so many things going on, the holidays. And I was like, fine, we're going to pick this one thing and you're going to complete. You're not going to talk about anything else. You're going to see patients. You're going to do your notes. You're going to do this basic, and then you're going to just complete this one thing. And don't talk to me until you finish this one thing. And like, that is just so powerful. Like we all need that level of focus and it's just a challenge, you know? And yeah.
Well, not only that, but I mean, it just makes sense from somebody that played sports growing up. Like you have coaches. I didn't teach myself how to throw a baseball, you know? And if I did, I probably wouldn't throw a baseball very well. You know, I'm sure you can figure certain things out, but there's a reason why they exist, right? Like I didn't teach myself how to do a lot of most things athletically. Did you just pick a bike up and you figure it out on your own? You know, or did your dad stand there and push you down a hill or whatever your dad's idea of teaching you how to ride a bike is. Give you some pointers, right? Like you had a coach, and you had a coach as you learn these physical skills. These are just, there are no difference. There's no difference really with physical skills, mental skills. These business skills are, in many cases, they're mental. And the other big thing, and this is what I've learned more than anything. I talked to our staff today. We had our staff meeting today. And, you know, I told him, one of our PTs was like, well, what if somebody comes in? And we talked about some like referral stuff that we're looking at doing. And she's like, what if somebody comes in and, you know, they only see us one visit because they have like half off of a visit for coming to a workshop or something like that. You know, and I was like, well, look, you're going to have certain people that's all the only reason they're there. But that's not the majority of people. It's like the majority of people want a solution to their problem. And if you can't communicate the fact that you can provide that solution, that's not their fault. That's your fault. You know, that's my fault for not teaching you well enough to be able to communicate that to somebody. And that's something that we need to work on. And, you know, the sales side of stuff, or really just like business in general, and what I've learned so much from just being involved with other business owners and successful people, is that most of success comes down to a mindset that you're going to be successful. And that is not a fake mindset, by the way. And this isn't some woo-woo bullshit where, you know, like I think about this bike and this bike shows up because like I think about a red bike and the secret tells me like I think about a bike and it'll disappear. No. You think about whatever it is that you're obsessed with, you become better at it, and then you go and buy whatever the hell you want because it's worked, right? So like when you look at people that are successful, they have a true, unwavering confidence in whatever it is they're doing. This is not in just business. This is in sport as well. This is in the military. People that I've seen, and I'm like, God damn, this motherfucker is charismatic as hell. Like I'll follow this guy wherever, or girl, wherever they're going. Like, I think they're going to be successful. Let's do it. And they have this internal, unwavering confidence. And what is so helpful about getting coaching and getting involved, in particular with other entrepreneurs, like me getting involved in mastermind groups and me leading a mastermind group, is the fact that you start to gain confidence by seeing what other people are doing. And other people being successful helps you gain confidence. And that confidence starts to become a real thing, a real positive element of you, and that doesn't change. And as you start to gain confidence and you start to gain wins, it snowballs into more and more and more confidence. And that is attractive to other people. That's attractive to potential clients. That's attractive to people that want to work with you, that you can then lead. And that is how you start to grow a business. So if you're really on the fence about how you can grow and how you can scale, and if you're trying to have a successful business, you have to work on mindset and the confidence associated with that. The best way that I found to do that is to get around other people that are successful so that you can have a perspective on what other people are doing and how they're having success, and you can do the same thing. And I mean, that's been huge for me. And I'm telling you, 4 or 5 years ago when I first started, if people could have a conversation with me then and me now, the one thing that I think that they would notice is dramatically different is the way that I view things. Failures don't affect me nearly as much. Wins don't affect me nearly as much. I just know we have a goal and we're driving towards that goal, and it's going to happen no matter what. Challenges will happen, but we'll deal with the challenges and we'll still achieve that goal because we know it's something that is going to happen. And we've already committed to the solution. We've already committed to the outcome. I can't not do it now. I have to do it. And the work comes along with it. I have to put the work in, but the solution or the outcome is going to happen no matter what happens externally.
Yeah, 100%, man. I mean, it's just so exciting. Like, that's what kind of just excited to be part of this movement. It's just like, if you've heard me talk, like, I just love our profession, like a physical therapy. And I feel like in school, we get this like mentality that we're like second best and that we're behind doctors. And like, it drives me crazy. And we have so much untapped potential. And like, what we're trying to do here and the kind of movement we're trying to spread is just that, like, you have a bunch of autonomy, you should have more confidence, you can run your own business, you can do direct access, like all that feeds off of each other, right? And like, it just lets you get more out of life and like do what you were supposed to do. And like, the people that want to have an impact should have the ability and the choice to go and make an impact on people. And we're just going to make it tangible for you. Like, it's not that, okay, let's hard. Don't get me wrong, it's freaking hard, but it is doable, and anybody can do it, right? You just have to put in the kind of, it's what I posted today on my new little 365-day project was that like genius is just a disguise for persistence, right? Like it's just, we're just persistent, both of us. Like I will work and get to that goal. It's almost like people yell at me. So I'm like, why do we need to go to this restaurant? Because I told myself I'm going to this restaurant. I don't care. Like we're going there. I'm going to keep doing it. It's just even little things. It drives people nuts, but I just have to finish a project. Like I finish every book I read. I finish every movie, you know, how terrible it is. I want to find out what happens at the end. So going on the tyrant, I'm total. Yeah.
No, I think it's a great point though. Like there's just, it's such a factor in success and not just in PT community, in business, right? Like one thing that I've really enjoyed is getting involved in this local entrepreneurs group here in Atlanta where, you know, it's business owners really anywhere between like $250,000 in gross revenue all the way up to like $1 billion. You know, there's one person in the group that's like $1 billion business. And there's about, I guess, 400 to 500 business owners in this group. And there's all kinds of different businesses, man, between like, you know, the friend of mine that has a juice company, right? Marketing agencies, people that license, like one lady in our group licenses, they're basically like these cat memes that they put on like shirts and backpacks and stuff. And they sell them at like Target and all over the place. But she basically helps the artist license their images and then find apparel companies to match it up with. And it's a multi-million dollar business. Like, who knew that even existed, right? Like, you know, there's one guy in our group that sells freaking sugar gliders, which is basically like a flying squirrel. And it's just this Amazonian flying squirrel that's hypoallergenic. You can buy them at carnivals. He sells these things and then he has a proprietary food they have to eat and they live for like 15 years. So once you buy a sugar glider, he's got you for 15 years because you got to buy his food. So like, it's interesting the people that I've had an opportunity to meet. And well, one thing I can tell you that is common is most of them are not successful on the first try. It's kind of interesting. Like they were like, oh yeah, I had a failed business doing this or that or whatever. But they're just so goddamn persistent and stubborn that they just keep doing other things until they find something that fits, you know? But how awesome is it that we have an opportunity to have a business and be persistent in that, because for us, it's about impact. It's about using our skill set to help people avoid things like surgeries that they don't need and get back to the activities that they enjoy and have a more fulfilled life. Like, I'm not selling rats to people and having them buy food for me for 15 years. I wouldn't find much fulfillment in that. I don't care how much money he makes. You know, we get to help people in really, really impactful ways. And, you know, that's a really cool place to be. So I think for us, you know, we have a really, really amazing future as professionals within physical therapy and business owners. And it's exciting to wake up every morning and really drive towards that. So I feel you, dude. Persistence is where it's at and quitting is not an option, you know, no matter what. It just isn't. And once you take that mindset, that approach, business becomes a lot more fun and enjoyable and your business will thrive because of it.
Yeah, 100%. We want a lot of tirades there, but niche down, find your energy, you know what I mean? Be persistent. It's this little bit of everything today.
Well, that's what happens when we end up talking is we have a topic and then it goes off the rails on that. But, you know, I think all this stuff is important. So hopefully our tangents don't detract from the message of figuring out the niche that you need to be in, where to find them, and how to get in front of them so you can get more people like that and attract more people like that so you can grow your business. So guys, that's pretty much it from us. If you're going to be in CSM, by the way, CSM in Washington, D.C. at the end of January, Mr. Eve and I will be there as well. Our workout that we're hosting is capped out. We hit our limit. Sorry, the gym can only accommodate a certain amount of people. And we hit it. So we're going to be training together with about 25, 30 other people in DC, a district CrossFit Thursday morning. And that'll be fun. And then, you know, I think we're going to try to get together in a couple other capacities as well, maybe a little happy hour kind of deal with some other friends of ours. And we just like to meet as many of you as possible. Hopefully, you know, the podcast has been beneficial for you. Something that maybe we've done has been beneficial and you know, you guys get to see that we're actually like real people, you know, and we could shake hands instead of us just going on, you know, rants about whatever it is that we're talking about, and actually meet in person and connect, you know, and talk about our profession and what you guys are trying to do and what we're trying to do and get on the same page and be able to meet in person. I think it's important. We're more excited about that than we are the content of CSM.
That's a very true statement. But we love the APTA, do we? But we do. And we love to work and love to implement and meet everyone in person. I think that's going to be a blast. I'm going to try to get a happy hour together for sure. Look for the PT Entrepreneur Facebook group. I'm going to try to post something. We'll get something together.
Yeah, for sure. So guys, thanks for listening today. As always, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday for the PT Entrepreneur podcast. And if you guys have any recommendations of topics you'd like us to dive into, I would love it if you would leave that in the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. Let us know. Say, tag us in and say, hey, Eve, Danny, I'd love it if you talked about this. And we will make a podcast episode out of that. And if you're not in the PT Entrepreneurs group, head to Facebook and request to join. It's pretty straightforward. Just search for PT Entrepreneurs. We're the only ones. And you can join about 1,500 other people that are within our profession that are interested in business and connect with them and get to know what they're up to, learn from them, ask questions, answer questions. It's a great place to be, very active group. And we've enjoyed, you know, helping grow that and being a part of that. So guys, head there if you haven't already done so. Leave us a topic you'd like us to talk about on the podcast. And we would more than happy to get to that and do a thorough job answering your podcast and going on as many rants as possible during that time. So guys, we'll catch you next time. Hey, I just want to say thanks for listening to today's show. If you liked what you heard and you're interested in seeing if you're a fit to work with us, here's what I want you to do next. Head over to physicaltherapybiz.com/call. That's physicaltherapybiz.com/call and book an appointment to speak with our team today. We'll jump on the phone with you for about 45 minutes and we'll get you crystal clear on three things in your business. Number one, what price should you be charging? Number two, what target audience should you be going after? And number three, what strategies should you be using to reach those people? Remember, scaling your cash PT business doesn't happen by itself. You need expert guidance to make it happen. We've helped cash PT owners all over the country scale to multiple six-figure businesses, all while creating huge impact in their communities. To see if we can help you do the same thing, head over to physicaltherapybiz.com/call. I'm Danny Matei, and let's talk soon.